wife is going to fall apart when Scout goes. You know, he's her ride or die. Way more important than me. I get it.
Anybody. When I say nothing, it's usually a thought that's so bad you don't even want to share. You're like, well, I can't tell you about that one.
And Dawn.
Sometimes people just want you to shut up and listen.
The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.
Very random email came in at 4:38 a.m. this morning. Just a question from Rob. It says, have you ever fallen asleep on the toilet while taking a number two?
Oh, no. Gosh. Not yet.
I've fallen on, this is not one of my proudest moments. I've fallen asleep on the toilet after I got home from a fun night, having a little one too many. And I was, you know, you do that thing where you sit on the pot and you're like, oh, I don't know if it's going to come from the mouth or the other end. Just I'm swirling. And so I blacked out on the toilet with my head down and in my lap. And my dog, Walter, was like walking into the bathroom. I remember hearing him in the like in the faint distance from where I was in the blackout zone. And he was like, and it was probably like good 3 hours.
Wow.
It was very, very sad and a very low point in my life.
I don't know how the emailer means it, but vast difference between falling asleep and blacking out. They're completely different things.
Oh, okay. Well, there was one time I was living in Hawaii and I partied a little too hard as well after a work shift. And I decided to have, I don't know, 6 bottles of wine basically to myself. And I ended up on the toilet, but then moved over to the bathtub and proceeded to throw up. And then I fell asleep, hunched over the side of the bathtub.
But
and
you moved from the toilet to the bathtub to throw up in the bathtub?
I was going number two, and then I had to throw up, so I didn't want to, you know, throw up into the nastiness. So
I went
and threw up in the bathtub instead.
Why combine the two?
Exactly. And that's where I decided to fold over and wait till like 7 in the morning the next morning for my roommate to come in and take a shower and politely wake me up and clean up my throw up. And I had a big old bruise on my chest from leaning over the bathtub.
Oh, no. Damn.
Yeah, these are blackout stories. Same thing, mid-20s in Reno, drank way too much, wound up in my bathroom at home, throwing up in the toilet, and fell asleep. I blacked out on the floor, and I slept there until my clock radio, because again, this is the mid-90s, went off because I had a 6 a.m. tea time. You don't miss tea times.
No.
Heads pounding because I didn't do any. I didn't do any of the things that you learn to do. The water, ibuprofen, whatever you believe in that might help you to take off of the Pedialyte, whatever to get rid of a hangover. Head, but that's again, that's blacking out. I don't know how he means it.
I've got one.
The idea of just sitting there on the toilet and just falling asleep.
Falling asleep. But I also wonder if this qualifies because so ever since I was little, I have snored. So I've just snored my whole life and just never had it checked out. I mean, it's always been like funny and how loud it is and how much it keeps people up. I mean, like it's beyond. But it never bothered me. I'm sleeping. It never got in the way of my day-to-day life. But I mean, I guess after so long from snoring your whole life since you're a child, as an adult, it started to affect me. I would just start dozing off as I'm driving.
No.
That's not okay.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. I'd get off the show here. I'd sit at my desk. Bam, I'm out. And there was one, and I'm like, what is going on with me? I'm not putting two and two together until later. But so one of the
right. So far, the diagnosis is narcolepsy.
Yes. So I was sitting on the toilet and not doing the big one. So maybe this doesn't half apply. But I'm going, and all of a sudden, I fell asleep and I woke up because my husband and Hank both come running over. And what I had done was the bathroom is separate. Where you go to the bathroom is separate from the bathroom. And so, but I had that door open and I fell into the door.
Yeah.
Mm. And I whacked my head so hard on that door. I even cracked the wood paneling in the door. Yes. To this day, we still have it like that in there because you can't see it unless you turn it back around. Oh. But anytime I have someone, if I decide I don't want to clean and I'll hire someone to come, they must think my husband abuses me. You know?
Yeah, depending on how you fall, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you like Brandon's story, you just kind of rest peacefully into your lap.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But if you have any sort of weight shift, you're off that toilet.
Bam. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to send more details, Rob, we'll be happy to expand on that. This email came in from Braden.
Hey, Braden.
Tomorrow's the big day, so we're starting to get some emails. This one starts out with, hey, Chubby.
Oh, no. I don't like Chubby.
My understanding is we still have an entire day to guess Rob's weight, as tomorrow will be 3 weeks to the day since you saw your doctor and, as I understand it, haven't consumed any alcohol. But you have been eating as though your entire home is a Brazilian steakhouse, and you always have your green give me more card turned upright.
Could you imagine if that was readily available at your house all the time?
Oh, man.
That would be amazing to have a Brazilian steakhouse.
Oh, my God.
I still haven't had one. Is it good?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's a lot of food.
That's the thing. My wife and I stopped going, and maybe this wouldn't be true now with my current appetite, but when you do the math, it's more of a, and I don't mean this as in any way a put down to the business model. You know, God bless you, make all the money you want. It's more of a ripoff than a buffet. Unless you have an extraordinary appetite, you are never getting what you're paying for.
We always did it in big groups, which that even more so, you're not getting what you pay for because you know you're paying for all of the people and no one's consuming. You can walk around. Oh yeah, flip it back over. Come back over here with that whatever kind of beef.
I mean,
and then there's so many great things at their buffet, the particular one we were at in Vegas, but you don't always make it over there. Mm-hmm. You don't make it back.
Oh, because there's also a buffet.
Along with them walking around. Yeah, sorry, thank you. And so you're enjoying that meat, and you go over once, and you're thinking, oh, I'll come back for that, and that, but you don't.
No.
You don't. Yeah.
So is it considered fine dining at these Brazilian steakhouses? Do you have to wear a fancy suit and a tie and everything? No? Okay.
No.
No, it's just pricey, and there's a lot of food. So people do make it an event.
Christ, it's 2024. You don't have to wear nice clothes at fine dining places anymore.
Don't?
This society's
exactly.
gone so far into
kick
the
you out?
Toilet.
No.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
No.
They don't give you a loner blazer?
Yeah.
Double-breasted?
So stupid. Braden says, I'm going to chime in now. That your previous weight of 171 pounds 3 weeks ago will now be 179.
No way.
Yes, Rob, you'll have gained 8 pounds in 3 weeks, which is totally doable. I believe this will be your body's overreaction to the change in the type of calories you are feeding it and your body trying to figure out how to adapt. Wow. The real kicker for most maggots is that I believe that while you may be horrified, I should read that in a different tone. The real kicker for most maggots is that I believe that while you may be horrified by bordering on that 180 line, you will change absolutely nothing. Your body will adjust, and by the end of May, you'll be back to the low 170s. That is just my totally uneducated guess.
Okay, well, that part seemed reasonable.
Yeah, I'm still bent on the fact that I think you're going to lose weight and you're gonna be down at like 168-ish.
So we'll know more. Well, you'll know more on Monday. I'll get weighed in. So last night, my wife came home and she was exhausted and her stomach didn't feel well. We already planned on dinner, so I prepared what I usually would prepare if we were going to have this. 2 pounds of crab legs, and then we each get our own whole artichoke. And I cut the artichokes in half, and I grill them, and then we have butter to go along with them.
Are they snow crab, Dungeness, king crab?
King crab legs, king always.
Yeah.
When you prep your avocados, when you prep your artichokes, do you cut them in, do you first boil them before you cut them in half and then put them on the grill?
Steam them. Cut them in half raw, of course, and trim them. Steam them for half an hour, and then finish them off on the grill, which is great because you can do the steaming anytime during the day, and then hours later finish them off on the grill.
Are you dipping them in mayonnaise? Butter?
Never. God, no. Butter. Only butter. Oh. Garlic butter.
I like the mayonnaise too, Kyle, but I'll do the butter as well. Whoever's preparing it I've seen it both ways, different places I've been to friends' houses, butter or mayo, and I'm fine with either.
You don't season up the mayo with anything? You just go in raw with the mayo?
Oh, or sriracha. You could do mix.
I accept that.
Yeah, there's a mix.
That you accept.
Yes. Yeah, it's not just, I've noticed it's not just mayonnaise.
That'd be so
it's
boring.
It's the base.
Yeah, because artichokes don't have a ton of flavor in them unless, you grill them or you put some, like a drizzle of a balsamic reduction.
Oh. And even with that, if there's only so much you can get on the leaves and such. So 2 pounds of king crab legs and an artichoke each, there's going to be usually there's going to be like a couple of pieces of crab, like maybe a claw left or, you know, one of the smaller pieces when we're done, and probably, you know, one and a half of each of the of the artichokes eaten. So we sit down, and as immediately as I serve, and of course I bring it out on this nice beautiful platter, and as the minute I put it down, she makes this noise, and I'm like, you don't even want to eat, do you?
Oh.
She's like, you know, it's not I know it's not personal.
Yeah.
So she takes a couple bites, and it's delicious or whatever, but she's just not feeling it.
Bummer.
So I just start eating.
Yeah.
At the end of the meal, and I did ask her at one point, I said, would you like me to move into the kitchen? Like, is the food bothering you?
And yeah,
she says, no, it's not that. It's not that type of thing. I'm just not hungry. I ate at the office. I'm a little stressed out. So at the end of that meal, I consumed an entire 2 pounds of crab legs.
Nicely done.
And 2 entire whole artichokes.
Oh,
there was nothing left. And odd phenomenon. It took me 10 minutes to clean up. You know, just rest, babe. You know, 10 minutes clean up everything, dishwasher, whatever. I stink at garlic, so shower time. I have not experienced this before. During my entire 7-minute shower, all I'm thinking about is, what am I going to eat next?
Oh, dear God, after all of that.
What sounds great next?
Insane.
Which, by the way, the answer turned out to be some larger pretzels that I like. Dipped into ranch dressing. I don't know, 10 or 15 of those. That was enough for the night last night.
So going back to your king crab legs. Now, last time I had king crab legs, I usually take the scissors and cut them, but I found a new trick. If you get a towel and you lightly press and crack them open, what is your preferred method? Because I'm still having trouble with the claws.
I always cut them with scissors. You just don't cut them in half. The nice thing now is if you're buying king crab legs at the right place, they already cut. They already come. Already split. This is that thing. This came up months ago when a bunch of you were like, oh, yeah, king crab legs are so messy. They're so hard to eat. I'm like, what? I've never heard that. And I apparently gave so many of you a life hack.
Yeah, because it's so much work.
That you had never heard of the fact
God.
That you cut the shell not all the way. You don't cut it off. You just cut it enough to where all you have to do is put your fork in and the meat slides right out.
Yum. So I actually have a Rad TV exclusive. Christina was kind enough to send me a photo of Rob while he was eating all of the king crab legs and everything.
Is this last night?
This is from last night, yeah.
Okay.
And it's weird, though, because the food that we're holding, Rob, doesn't really resemble king crab legs, but I think it's just the technique in which you're eating it that makes it look different. Hmm. So if you're watching us on Rad TV at members.radradio.com,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's you.
Why aren't you wearing your glasses?
It's your dress shirt.
For those not
able
to watch Rad TV, that is a 300-pound pig shoving a sloppy Joe or something.
I like
in
how
his
he dressed
mouth.
Up, though. He's got the dress shirt on.
Yeah, right? Rob's always dressed to the nines.
Ridiculous. Alec wrote in and said, my guess is that Tubby will weigh in at 172.3. Okay.
Oh,
again, it was 171 3 weeks ago tomorrow.
Tubby seems nicer than Chubby for some reason.
Angie says, I am submitting my guess for Rob's weight since your clothes are still fitting. And from what I can see on Rad TV, I'm guessing you're at 178 pounds. 8 or 6.
Wow.
No, 178 pounds.
I would be so surprised.
Yeah. By the way, I did finally do some Googling on this since these emails came in. Because we mentioned before, the most common thing when you quit alcohol or stop or abstain or really, really lower it is you crave sweets because of the sugar content. Gaining weight after not drinking is not uncommon at all, it turns out. There are a number of reasons you might gain weight after you quit drinking. They gave us 3 of them. I dismissed 2 of them entirely. First one, many people find food, especially sugary or fatty foods, gives them a dopamine boost that serves some of the same purposes that alcohol used to, which can lead to a transfer addiction. You go from alcohol to food. Very common in the addiction world. I am not addicted to alcohol. It's a compulsion. I can stop it at any time, as I've proven. Don't get me started. We're not having that argument today. I have not replaced my love of alcohol, which is what I would call it, for my love of food. There's something else going on, which I think I know what it is. The other one I'm dismissing entirely is that heavy drinkers typically have chronically low blood sugar, which can persist into recovery. When your blood sugar is low, you instinctively try to correct it with sugary food. This boosts your blood sugar temporarily, and then it tends to crash again, leading to a cycle of sugar boom and bust, common for people recovering from alcohol use disorder. I dismiss that entirely because, again, I am not seeking out specifically sweet foods, nor an inordinate amount of carbs, which would turn into sugar. Plus, most notably, I get 2 physicals a year, complete blood panels. My blood sugar is totally normal.
Well, I mean, last night you had protein, and I mean, I guess it's the vegetable carb, right? But it's not like you had bread.
Fiber.
Rice. Right, fiber. There you go,
yeah.
Kyle. Yeah.
But
it wasn't, so it's not
artichokes
like
do not convert in the carb way to a sugar.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it shows like you're not always seeking what we typically want in a carb, because numerous times you mentioned you're eating a lot of meat.
The one that I will accept. Oh, by the way, that 4-ounce ribeye that was left over yesterday, that was lunch the minute I got home yesterday.
It's like a bite.
Which brings us to what I think is the answer. Kyle had a very, I thought, insightful observation the other day, where I mentioned that I depending on when I get home, we'll call it noonish, and begin working for the day, I will have a snack of some kind or a mini meal, like 4 ounces of ribeye, and then I don't eat until it's like 4 in the afternoon. Like, I have no cravings. I'm not eating at all. And Kyle said, well, wait a minute. Isn't 3:30, 4 o'clock when you used to start thinking about and or prepping dinner for the night, and that's when you would open your first drink?
Yeah.
And I thought, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
So the one I like that's on this list about why you might gain weight from quitting alcohol is also the most common. You use food to replace alcohol, but not in that way where you're transferring addiction. For example, if you are used to reaching for, well, the way they write it is, if you reach for a soda every time you would have previously reached for a beer or a cocktail, you will end up consuming a lot of calories, possibly more than before. And sure enough, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I am popping open ginger ale. I love ginger ale to begin with. They have a thing called Ginger Ale Bold by Canada Dry, which is spicy. I am drinking 4 or 5 cans of that a day, filled with sugar. Starts at 4 o'clock, and then you add in the food, of course, that's going to be part of it. I don't know, though, yet what it's doing to my body in terms of weight gain or whatever.
So basically, it's still a compulsion, but it's like the dog bell or a dog whistle at a certain time. You're just used to doing something at that particular time, and you're replacing the different tricks.
It's, to me, and I don't mean this in any way to be defensive. To me, it's premature to call it a compulsion. To me, it's nothing more than like habit replacement.
Okay.
You're used to it. Muscle memory, we'll call it. It becomes a compulsion when you continue to do it all the time, even when you don't want.
And that's my lack of knowledge and not understanding the definition of it completely.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's like at 4 o'clock, because also from noon to 4 when I'm working, I'm not drinking anything. Like, I don't even have water. I've come off 100 ounces of water on the show. And so the time hits and my mind or my body say, who knows? Hey, shouldn't you be putting something in your body? And so I go to the ginger ale. Now, it becomes a compulsion if months from now I am still drinking 4 to 5 cans of ginger ale along with 2 to 3 cans of these other probiotic sodas and all these other things, and there's no control over it, and your body has just decided, okay, this is our new replacement system.
You're speaking to the process of, like, when you quit smoking, they'll say, find something to replace, because you've just gotten used to smoking. There's something in your hand. You'll see sometimes people with a pretzel or just something to put in their hand because that's what you're used to. But then they're also like, as you just said, as time goes on, kind of watch for what it is you're using to replace, because then it might be this compulsion thing of like, that's what you're doing every time. But you keep those hands busy.
We got one more on this from Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Says, dear Fad.
Fad?
That would be Fat Ass Anybody and Dawn.
Oh, Fat Ass. No, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's just too low.
Too low as in too low a blow, or as in I'm much bigger than a fat ass?
No. It's too low. It's too low of a blow, not as low as your gut.
Justin says, I believe Rob said he was 171 3 weeks ago and since then has been on the Peter Griffin diet. If he's really over-consuming and nothing else is changing or balancing out or offsetting things, 3 weeks a pound would put him at a solid 180. I am, however, guessing 172. Given his family history, metabolism, massive water intake, and reports over the years of averaging 10,000 steps per day, 1 pound seems reasonable. Yeah, my dad gave me a pedometer, and for a month I used it on random days, and it was 10,000 steps a day, which I guess is twice what you need. If who knows what they know? They don't know anything. He says, I also expect Rob's appetite to level out. Probably not back to before alcohol, but not eating 2 meals and a half bag of pretzels every night.
I don't know. This is fun, though.
I bet he never goes above 179.
You know what? So I hope, yeah, for you, maybe it levels out and there's not so much of like all the random snacky stuff. But I want to be able to see you clear a plate. I've just never seen that in my life.
And that's all I'm doing.
Like, I never...
And my wife is watching in awe do that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing.
It's insane. I don't care what nice restaurant we've gone to where the food is amazing. It looks like you kind of touched your plate, but not really. All the amazing meals you've made for Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. Of course, I see you taking bites, but there's still so much left. I mean, to see you clear a plate. Good God.
By the way,
I need this on film.
Michael just wrote in and said, has anyone claimed 172.3?
Oh, okay.
I can feel it. That's going to be the way. Yes, Alec did, but it does. I'll save all of these, and we'll find out on Monday who got it.
So with your snacking, are you stopping by at like gas stations and fast food restaurants on your way out and about in town and like getting cravings for food right away? And you're like, oh, I've got to stop here. Because
no.
I find myself doing that quite a bit when I'm not being good.
There is none of that. It is all stuff that I have at home. Like, do I want to make a Reuben sandwich? Do I want to have the pretzel? I've had no inclination to go down the fast food route or anything like that yet.
Have you done that thing where you're like recounting what you ate, or maybe someone asked? And you're like, and you forget, and you're like, oh no, wait, I also had this. Have you done that?
Yeah, only because of like I usually would never do that for any reason. So I'm doing it for the show. But there's been a couple mornings where I've been trying to write down what it, and then I'll go back and go, oh wait, I also had. I did also have that too, didn't I?
Do you feel like when, Rob, when you entertain, when you have people over for dinner and you're preparing the meal, that you don't necessarily finish your plate because you've been dealing with the food all day? I know that when I host family and I'm making food and I'm barbecuing all day, I'm kind of picky. I'm more peckish when it comes to eating dinner because of that, because I'm just around the food all the time. So is that maybe what Dawn is experiencing you doing?
It would be. If that wasn't also how I ate all the other rest of the time.
Exactly. I mean, that is a good point, but I've experienced this at so many restaurants.
I'm not
like,
kidding.
Dude, eat your food.
My wife, I'm like I feel like an animal in a zoo with my wife. She just stares at me. She just watches me. She can't believe that I'm cleaning plates, that I'm licking plates, that I'm trying to find, is there any more meat on this artichoke leaf? hello, Dale. Good morning.
Good morning, Red Radio.
Dale.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you for what you guys do in the veteran space, first and foremost. We appreciate everything you guys do.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Second of all, I work in this space now as the VA fed my addiction for a long time. But I always say this to my clients, which might also help you. We always have one more relapse, but we don't always have one more recovery. So I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. I'm glad that you're in that space. I'm glad that you're being, you're outgoing with what you're going through, because you never know, Rob, you're a big influencer, and you never know who you could touch just by saying, hey, you know what? I had a craving. I didn't use, but I had a craving. I took a drink, and you may help somebody who's beating themselves up because they took a drink or did something else.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Dale. We touched on this yesterday. There is no shame in falling down, in failing, in making a mistake. The issue is, do you fix it?
Yep.
Do you go back and do you move forward? Whether it's sobriety, whether it's you're on a diet, whatever you call a diet. And you're supposed to have a cheat day. The girl who wrote in the other day, and she went from she tried the party cake peeps, ate the whole package, and then made an entire tray of Rice Krispie treats. She's got diabetes, and she ate the entire tray. That's where you go a little too far. One email to wrap up our opening segment from Escobar, who says, "Rob, congrats may be in order. First of all, congratulations on the sobriety. Secondly, I heard that Whale 2 is in the works and Brendan Fraser is not available this time."
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show.